So praise God. We were just giving out some praise today. Our series this month is on community, and I'm so very excited about it because I love community. I love being with people. People is my thing. And we say a lot of times around here, we're in the people business. But I want Myrna and Maurice to come up here for just a minute. I love this couple. Love, love, love them. And listen, she makes you better whether you want to be better or not. That's just the way she is.
Nice.
I'm going to be nice. Okay. I'm being nice. I said you make me better. I didn't say you made me worse.
I thought he meant I fussed at him.
Well, you might have done that a few times too, but I probably deserved it. But I just love this couple. And many of you don't know, but Myrna's given her life to our daily bread. How many years?
17
years and not been paid one penny. So she feeds the poor. She loves people. But she couldn't do it without this man right here. So I'm honoring both of them because he has supported her and been there with her and calmed her down at times.
And made
a living so she could work for no money. And she's worked hard. And she can still work circles around everybody in this room. If you want the challenge, I'm just telling you, don't try it, because she can still work circles around you. And she just turned 20. And so, she has retired, and they're retiring, and they're moving to the land of the free, the home of the brave, the North Louisiana. She's going to be a 318 girl here soon. All right. And that's where I'm from. She's moving to the lake, Cross Lake in Shreveport. And so we have a little card for you to let you know how much we love you, how much you've blessed our community and all of our partnerships over the years as we served here, but we couldn't have done that without you.
Thank you.
And there's a little gift card in there for Home Depot so you can buy you something for your new house.
Thank you.
So,
can I say something?
Yeah, of course. You were going to say it anyway.
Can I tell them about the garage sale for our daily bread next Saturday?
Yeah.
8 to 12 at our new soup kitchen. If you haven't seen it.
You can't tell them about it yet. You're retired.
Oh, yeah, no.
No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
But anyway, I want to tell you, Daily Bread is just miracles in the community and God and the volunteers and the churches.
Can y'all hear her?
Yeah. Okay. I want to tell you about one miracle that involved him. You know, in the beginning, we didn't have much food, but we were serving hot meals, so we served them in the empty room down in that 100-year-old building that had no heat for 10 years, so we are miracles. But anyway, we finally got food, so we had to move it to churches to serve. I can't remember. Have food, will move, you know, whatever church would do it. Well, I had it at a church, and they came to me and they said, we can't do this anymore. And I think they gave me less than a month to find a new church. So I thought, this church in Marvin. So I came to see him later in the week, and I said, is there any way your church could serve those hot meals? We'll bring them here, you know, carry out. And he said, well, let me pray about it over the weekend. Said, I'm going to a conference. And he said, call me Monday morning, and I'll let you know. And I thought, oh, God, please. I didn't know what I was going to do. We have all these people, and we have the place to cook it, and we have all these meals and no place to serve. So I came to see him Monday morning, and he said, I didn't need to pray about that. The conference was on Feed the Poor. But y'all were so faithful, and thank you. So come to see the new kitchen.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
Let me just say this. Back before, when they were, what was the address of the old place?
On Chestnut.
It was just a little broken down building, and they was pouring food out of there, and it was just too small. And we started talking about the vision that God would have for us to grow into a bigger place. And so Myrna would say, we don't have the money to do it. I said, but it's God's vision. It ain't our vision. God's going to do it. And so now we not only have a large warehouse, but we also have a building next door that's with a full commercial kitchen in it. And they're feeding about 300 people a week just out of that one place. And it's growing and growing and growing. And I asked John Hare to be here today. Everybody's familiar with him. He does a lot with our church. And John is going to be taking Miss Myrna's place because there ain't nobody can do that. But he's going to try to fill that spot. And so, but there's only one Miss Myrna, and she's just loved and served this community. Thank you, Maurice.
Thank you.
Listen, we love y'all. Y'all the best. I want Michelle and Tim and who else is here on our leadership team. Anyway, we'll just come up, and I want y'all to lay hands on. We're going to pray over them. Where's my wife at? Did she leave? Oh, there she is. Come on over here. We're going to pray for y'all. And just pray that they're next. Myrna has fought cancer, but she's won.
Yes.
She's one. So she's going fishing now. All right. All right, let's pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this couple. We thank you, Lord, for their life of diligence and excellence, God, and their commitment to the kingdom of God. They've not loved just one church or one group of people, God, but they have loved this community with an unselfish love from the north to the south, all the way from Kentwood down to Manshack, Lord. And we just lay hands on them today. We prophesy greatness over their life. We pray for blessing over their life. We pray, God, that you will just meet all of their needs, every single need they have. We pray, God, that the rest of their years upon this earth, God, will be healthy and full of life and full of fun and full of activities. We bless them in their move. We pray over their new property and their new place, God. We just pray, God, that the angels encamp about them, and we bless them in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen, amen, amen. We love them. Let's give them a big hand. Love you. Love you, love you. It was kind of funny because we invited Myrna on another day. She couldn't come that day, but she didn't know. And I wasn't really thinking about us starting our series on community. What a great way to start your community series. Amen? Amen. Are you glad to be here today?
Yeah.
Everybody glad to be here?
Yeah.
I'm going to warn you ahead of time. It's going to be a little longer than normal, but I got to lay this foundation. But I want you to just focus on what God's going to be speaking to us this day. Okay? Because I'm going to lay out some things for you to help you, and to help us be who God created us to be. It's an amazing thing, because when people come to church, they're looking for, most people when they tell me what am I coming to church for, they're coming to look for a place of community. But yet oftentimes that is the least talked about, not just the general sense of we're a church of community, but how do we establish biblical community in our house? How do we establish, not just coming together on Sunday morning, but how do we establish a biblical community, what the Bible says about community? And so it's probably a subject that we don't talk about a whole lot, although we try our best to live that. And how we truly become a community that is known as the family of God. Not just coming and gathering, but we're family. And there's strong family in this house. There's strong family in this house. And 21 years ago, when my wife and I came to pastor this church, one of the key ingredients was that we're going to be a church that's a family. We're going to have a family atmosphere. And we have always, even in our building, when we started thinking about how do you set up a building, I love this atmosphere because it feels like a living room. You know what I mean? I want it to be like a family unit, like where we come together and we live our lives deeply involved in one another's life and helping one another. And so as I study and look into this next generation, and they want to go to church, but they want to go to church that's simply that. It's church. And they can go in this millennial generation, which I love this millennial generation. They're so smart, man. You know, I feel so dumb around millennials. I'm just going to be honest with you. You know, and I was at a place yesterday, and there was this girl working on an elderly man's cell phone, and he was like my age, and she was working on his cell phone, and she would show it to him and hand the phone back to him, and he couldn't do it, and she'd hand the phone back to him again, and he said, I just don't understand this, because this millennial generation they're in technology, they're smart, they're moving and shaking, they're making things happen. Now, I don't know that sometimes we feel like this millennial generation is not working as hard as my generation did, because they're not maybe not out, you know, working physical labor like as much as our generation may have. But the fact is that they're a generation that's key to the changing of the environment right now. Are anybody here with me? And I love all of you that are not millennials. If you have gray hair, even if you color it, if you're here today and you really have gray hair, but nobody knows it, hey, I want us to speak life over this next generation. Let's speak life over this generation coming up. That they're going to be a generation that's going to be world changers. Anybody here? They can reach the world from their pocket. Come on. And so there's a powerful, powerful generation that we're in, and that's the millennials. And millennials, when you study them, when they come to church, they just want to go to church that's a church. They don't care about how cool it is or how relevant it is. They want it to be they want it to be authentic, and they want it to be true. And so we're living with a generation that want to attend church, but they want to be accepted for who they are. Come on. I want to be accepted for who I am. But listen, that's not just millennials. I want to be accepted for who I am. How many want to be accepted for who you are? Come on. You know, and listen, we're always trying to change people, but really, it's okay to be different. Is anybody here this morning? Yeah. It's okay to be different. It's all right to be different. God made us different for a reason, and it's okay to be different. And so there's this coolness about being different and loving one another where you are. There we go. The top three things this generation is looking for is authenticity, and I want to talk about authenticity for just a minute. They don't really care about our coolness or how relevant the church is. What they care about is, are you real? Are you real? They've seen fake. They've seen phony. They've seen all of this stuff. They want to know, are you the real deal? Are you the real deal? I want to know, are you the real deal? I want to know, is your life true? Is it what you say it is? And they want to live a life that you're not afraid to speak what you believe, live what you believe, and say what you believe. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I grew up in church all my life, and so many things I watched in church were camouflaged or sugar-coated or made to so that we made sure that either a people group would accept that you were saying without any regard to whether it was true or authentic or not. I really could care less about that. I want to know that what we say is true and what we believe is true. And so with that said, I want to say, Peyton's already said it today, two of the pillars that we stand on, we have many core values here, but two of the things that we stand for is the pursuit of God's presence, and that we're a spirit-filled church, and we make no apologies about that. That we believe in the power of the work of the Holy Spirit in our life and the prophetic anointing that's resting on this house. And we believe in family. We believe that family is the key that holds us together. And that we want to be true to that. We don't want to try to camouflage that. We don't want to try to make believe we're not that. This is who we are. You know, and I love being authentic, because here's the deal. When you're authentic and you're true to who you are, no matter where you are, that's who you are. It's so hard to be fake over here and fake over there. I don't know who to be over there. Who do I need to be around them? If you just be you, who God created you to be, you can go anywhere. You can do anything, because that's who God created you to be. Come on, let's give the Lord some praise. The second thing is discipleship. I cannot overstate how important preaching is. The Bible says we're saved by the foolishness of preaching. But don't ever forget, there is a lot of ways in this modern day to get preaching. I mean, you didn't have to come to church this morning to get some good preaching. You could have sat on your couch and you could have watched some good preaching on TV or on the internet, stream live, iPad, iPod, this, that. And if you really, you know, were desperate, you could even get it on Android. Just a joke. There's so many ways you could possibly hear preaching today. But let me tell you something. Preaching in and of itself is not enough. Discipleship changes lives. And discipleship is not just the idea of you came to church, got preached at, and went home. That's not discipleship. Jesus taught us what discipleship was. He got 12 dudes. They hung out together. They slept on the same rock together. They ate the same fish together. They hung out together. They spent time together. We always think discipleship may be what we're preaching. A lot of times discipleship is what we're living. Can I get a better amen this morning? Discipleship is where we go, what we do, who we're with, and how we act when we're with them, and that we carry the goodness of God in our life, that we carry the purpose of God in our life. And as we carry the goodness and the purpose of God in our life and others follow us, they begin to imitate what we're doing because they're learning who Jesus is. Come on, not who we are, but Jesus is. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. He wasn't saying follow me because I'm great. He was saying follow me because I know Jesus and I'm going toward him. And then that same Paul said, the things I know to do, I don't do. He was saying, look, as you follow me, there's going to be failures in my life, but my eyes are never going to leave Jesus. Because I'm authentic, I'm real. And in this discipleship model, you may, along the way, there may be some error, but one thing you're going to find out in this discipleship idea, that I'm never taking my eyes off Jesus. And so as I follow Christ, I'm going to get up from the failures that I make. I'm going to make mistakes, but I'm going to get up because I got my eyes on Him. And when we begin to disciple people out of that same idea, like, I don't have to be perfect, but I have to keep my eyes on Jesus. And I want you to come with me, and we're going to walk together, and you're going to get to see Jesus. Let me show what else discipleship does, though. Discipleship is where the Scripture says, iron sharpeneth iron. And when we get with people and we begin to disciple people, we begin to be sharpened by the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. That's a very powerful thing. So discipleship is key in our lives, not just coming to church, not just hearing good preaching, but living our life in a discipleship model. A discipleship model. I'm stepping on somebody's charger back here. Let me move up a little bit. Jesus told the disciples in Matthew 28:19, He said, go make disciples. He didn't say go build a church. He didn't say that. He said go make disciples. He told him, he said, upon this rock I'll build my church. This is going to be my church. But you go make disciples. It's more than just gathering people. You go make disciples. You go make followers of Christ. You go teach them how to live. Teach them how to walk. Teach them how to experience this relationship. That's so good. That's so good. So we're really called to do that. Number three thing that millennials are looking for. I keep saying millennials, but really I'm looking for it too, to be honest with you. I'm looking for it as community. Everybody say community. God created us as social creatures. We're not made to do life alone. The Lord made Adam and He said, man, that's good. But it's not good enough. He needs a wife. He needs community in his life. He understood community was a very powerful thing that we're not created. Even the most introverted person needs people in their life. Now, they may not need them like I need them. I mean, I live off of being with people. I'm not so much now, but there was a day that I couldn't stand to be alone. As a matter of fact, my wife took the kids and went to Shreveport one time. I went and spent the night with Tim and Michelle because I didn't want to stay by myself. Come on. True story. I like being around people. I'm a people person. Some people say, I don't like to go to crowds. I like to be in the middle of crowds. I love the people watch. Amen. Amen. I was at Peyton's house last night. They was having Cinco de Mayo across the street. Two boys had a little bit too much of the old wine. They was getting in a scrap down there. I had to go down and break up a fight. My wife thought I was showing out. I was like, I'm not showing out. I'm just two young men are supposed to go to jail. I'm in the people business. And I just went down there and act like an old papa. Hey, boys, y'all going to go to jail. Y'all better stop this right now. Yeah. It got crazy. It got crazy. Before long, the girlfriend was on top of the boy beating up the boyfriend, and she was beating around the boyfriend, hitting the boyfriend too. So they was all beating up on the boyfriend, poor guy. We're in the people business, though. We care about people's life. And we need people in our life. We need community in our life. Let me tell you something. If you ever watch National Geographic, the lion goes out and he takes the prey. And he gets the prey and he separates the weak. He separates the weak off. And when he moves the weak away from the pride, from the herd, then the pride attacks the weak. When you're in community, you cover one another. There's going to be moments in our life we're going to be weak, and if we don't have community in our life, we're going to get separated off, and then at that moment, the enemy is going to have his way with us. I'm calling those that are in isolation out today and saying, hey, listen, you need community in your life. Community builds, it strengthens, it speaks into your life. Community holds you up when you're down. It rejoices with you in great times. We need community. Community is a very powerful thing, and it's a God-ordained thing. That's so good. And community is not something that's required or should be required to be done by the pastor and his staff. community should be the purpose of every person in the building. We all should be building community. We all should be loving on people. We all should be speaking into people's lives. Let me tell you something. We're all going to be in some kind of community. Let me pause for just a moment. In the world, in the bar scene, when I was in the bar scene, I had a community of brothers. There were seven of us guys. We band together like brothers. Yeah, when one of us got in a fight in a bar, we all got in a fight in a bar. And we had one who would always start the fight and then leave us all to fight in the bar. But he was still part of our brotherhood. And we ate together. We fished together. We hunted together. We fought together. We got drunk together. We was a community. It's so funny when you get into the kingdom of God so oftentimes, why it's a strain to have community, and it ought to be the closest place there is. This ought to be the closest community in our town. We ought to love one another. We ought to fight together. We ought to eat together. We ought to drink together. We ought to play together. We ought to pray together. We ought to be a community that believes together and that sticks together. Now, I'm going to say some things that I thought I saw some faces first service, and I'm just being honest, okay? I'm being authentic because we love authenticity. So oftentimes we don't get involved in the community of believers, and then we're in the hospital or someone dies or some situation happens or something goes wrong or our car breaks down, and then we're left alone. And we're like, well, the church people don't love us. We need to come to our aid. We don't know you. Because you come to church on Sunday, and before we can say a good amen, you're in your car going home. Well, it's got quiet. Come on, somebody say, pastor's pastoring this morning now. But when a crisis shows up in your life, you're like, where's the church? And oftentimes, I don't even know you're in the hospital. Or somebody don't know that you had a bad situation. We find out 3 days later on Facebook that you had your baby. But when you're in community, all of a sudden, when a time comes when life is bad, guess what? Community shows up and they help you and they're there for you because there's a relationship that has bound you together, your family. And you show up for one another. But let me help you. Some of you are maybe feeling bad. Let me help you with that. Oftentimes we don't have community because we're too busy. Our lives are just full of go, 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 go. You know, my dad would tell me sometimes, you need to stop and smell the roses. You need to stop and smell the roses. I remember an elderly lady that was in our church. She's going to be with the Lord now. She told me one day, she said, Pastor Marvin, you know what's wrong with the church? I said, I think you're fixing to tell me. She said, they don't drink enough lemonade. I said, what in the world are you talking about? We don't drink enough lemonade. She said, when back in the day, before there was electricity, in the afternoon, we would come out of the fields and we would sit on the porch. We'd have dinner. We'd sit on the porch and the people from the community would come around and we would drink lemonade and talk about life. She said, this generation's so busy, they don't drink enough lemonade. I preached a whole message years ago called Time to Drink Some Lemonade. We should have passed out lemonade today because we need to take a little break in our life, sit on the porch, and find out, hey, who is Myrna Jordan? What about this lady who has changed the world around us? What about this person that's quiet and they're not all out in the forefront, but yet they're powerful, they're in their prayer room? What about that person? What about Miss So-and-so or sister? We don't know them because we've lost community. And so when the enemy comes in, he's pushing the society, he's taking the weakest side because community has been broken down. Come on, I'm preaching some good stuff this morning. Where's my phone at? So let me tell you something. This is not community. Amen. Facebook is not community. Instagram is not community. This is the highlight reels of somebody's life. It's not community. And you'll find out if you text me a paragraph, you're getting a phone call. Come on, anybody ever experienced that? If you about two texts from me, and I'm like, okay, Colin, because if you got that much to say to me, we're going to talk. We're going to talk. A friend of mine said his wife was emailing him, she said he was emailing her about the day's events. I'm like, if my wife ever emails me, it's going to be on. You better not be emailing me, baby. I'm married. This is a community. I'm doing life with you. You matter to me. So don't send me some text that you did with the voice thing that I can't read anyway. It don't make sense. Come on, somebody. Call me up. We'll have some coffee. I drink any brand you want if it's community, not community, community. I don't like community, but I'll drink any brand of coffee with you for community. They named the coffee right, community. Because we're better together. And God has put us on this earth to walk together, to live together, to enjoy life together. Men this afternoon, to have crawfish together and to play wiffle ball, which I don't know why you don't know what wiffle ball is. So we need community. So often we don't know people because we have predetermined who they are when we see them. Come on. We're like, well, you know, they ain't gonna fit my cool vibe right here. No, what that I can just tell by what they're wearing, they ain't gonna flow with me. They're not as cool as I am. They don't understand my thing, so I'm just not going to talk to them. And so we predetermine who God is trying to put in our life by the exterior of someone and never taking time to spend time with them. I'm going to tell you a little short story. One of my friends, Jeff Ramsey, he is the epitome of redneck. When you say redneck, you look that up in the dictionary, his picture's beside it. He's true blue. I love him so much. And his wife was always, I was the youth president over this area, and he was a youth pastor, and so we was having rallies, and we'd go do these rallies together, and his wife was always provoking him. She'd say, why don't you go hang out with Marvin? Because he's a city slicker. He ain't gonna hang with me. You know, I was walking in my pressed shirt and tie and my cufflinks not him. And so she just kept on provoking him. So one night we was having a youth rally at his church. And so it forced us to be together for a few minutes because of the pre-service. And he said, hey man, you like to hunt? I said, I love to hunt. He said, would you come out? Tomorrow we're going to be running dogs. Anybody know what running dogs is? So we're going to be running dogs tomorrow. You ought to come out and hang out with us. Sure. I got up the next morning. I drove and got there early in the morning. You know, that's kind of a hangout time. All the trucks are gathered around on the corner in the woods, and they're talking about which section of land they're going to run the dogs in, and then everybody disperses, and they go line the roads up, and, you know, and they throw these dogs out in the woods, and they run a deer across you, and North Louisiana, if it's brown, it's down, baby. Boom. And so, Redneckville, baby. Don't run it. And it ain't no bucks. It's just hair. And I knew I was among the best of them. And we got in the truck and we drove up on this ridge. And Jeff didn't know it, but he was already speaking my love language. He had like a dozen donuts. I'm like, oh yeah, Lord. We may not have any conversation, but we're going to eat some donuts. And so we ate a dozen donuts and drank a couple of thermoses of coffee. And then guess what we did after that? We went to lunch. And we never got out of the truck to hunt that entire day. Never once did we load a gun. Never once did we get out of the truck. Because what happened was when we got in that truck together, we realized that we had more in common than we ever could have imagined. And to this day, he's one of the very best friends that I have. I can pick up the phone and call him right now, and I can say, hey, I need you, and he'd come right to my aid. But had I lived in the place where I predetermined this awesome man of God that would be speaking into my life, if I predetermined that by his exterior, like he had done me as well, then we would have never known each other. We have never understood that God had gifted me with a gift called community. He's so funny because he used to wear these terrible suits. I mean, cheap suits hanging off of him. Looked like they'd been chewed up and spit out, wrinkled. Bad. It was bad. Just whatever tie. Didn't match. And I'd say, hey, dude, you need to dress better. So I kept provoking him, and his wife would be like, amen, and me like, go tell him. So one day he was together, and he said, look, I'm going to make a deal with you. Now, I was dyslexic. I hated to read. I'd read one book in my life. The only book I'd ever read in my life was Where the Red Fern Grows. And I cried. Anybody read that? I don't know. How many cried when you read it? Come on, raise your hand if you cried it. Come on, be authentic. I had a Christmas tree light, and I was a little entrepreneur, and I had a Christmas tree light, and I was reading this book, and I'd walk out, and customers would come up, and I'd be like, they're like, you okay? I said, I'm just reading the dumb book about a man and a dog. The only book I'd ever read in my life. And he said, look, I'll make a deal with you. I'll let you take me to buy a suit and help me get a suit and look, you know, match it all up. If you'll promise to read the books I give you. I was like, dude, I don't need to read. I read the Bible. I just read the Bible. But I'm holy. And he says, no, I want you to read. And I tell you what, since that day, since he forced me and would call me out and say, have you read this? Have you read this book? And I made an agreement with him that I would read. I love to read now. I carry books with me all the time. I'm always reading books. I love and enjoy reading because I've learned that real leaders are readers. And I would have never known this big thing in my life that's helped me so much had I just lived out in my own little community without reaching out to someone else. Anybody get what I'm saying today? Yes. We need people in our life. Come on, let's give God some praise. I'm going to read some scripture so y'all think I'm biblical. Ephesians 2. So you're not foreigners or guests, but rather you are the children of the city of the holy ones, with all the rights as family members to the household of God. Come on, you have all the rights. You're members of the body of Christ, your family. When you walk into the family of God, everything that God has is for you. Come on, that's so good. You're raised like the perfectly fit stone of the temple, and your lives are being built together, the ideal foundation laid by the apostles and prophets, the best of all. You are connected to the head cornerstone of the building, the anointed one, Jesus Christ himself. The entire building is under construction, and it's continually growing under his supervision until it is raised up to completely as the holy temple of the Lord himself. This means that God is transforming each one of you into the holy of holies, his dwelling place, through the power of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. He's putting us together. The word's telling us we're family. We're not foreigners. We're not guests here. We're family. And we're like little blocks. Like, I wished I had some big old Legos. Like little blocks that are being put together to form this beautiful body of Christ. Who gives you, and he died on the cross for all. He didn't die just for the ones that look like us, that talk like us, that go where we, he died for everybody. Everybody in the world, he died for them all. And he's put us together to build, to be a part of. Emily, can you come help me this morning? Ollie. Smyrna, won't you come help me this morning? Miss Deborah, can you come help me? Gio, come help me. I want to just kind of just show you just for a little bit all these amazing people that God puts in our life. They come from different places. They're different ages. They come from different walks of life. Miss Deborah's walked into our life, and she's connected with us, and she just, man, every time you're around Miss Deborah, I promise you, every time I'm around you, I just feel this spirit of excellence. Everything about her is excellent. I mean, she even carries excellence in the way she walks. Whatever she touches is excellent. She does the flower beds outside. They're excellent. I stuck my head in her car. It's all clean and excellent. Everything is excellent. Her clothes are excellent. Everything about her. And so when I'm around her, I just feel this spirit of excellence. When I'm around Miss Myrna, I feel this compassion to care for people that are broken, to feed the hungry. She's driven by it. She's driven by getting up every day and going to change the world that God has put her in. And that motivates me. And when I start making excuses about I'm tired and I don't feel like it, I look at Ms. Myrna and say, you can't be tired. There's no way you can be tired. Get over yourself. It's a spirit of excellence. Gio, faithful. Faithful. Just stop rock solid every day. Showing up faithful, willing to give, willing to express himself in a faithful manner. Don't complain. Always has a kind word to say, a few smart-like words. Emily, when I see Emily, you know what I think? I think you're in trouble for eating them donuts. And we laugh about that. As a matter of fact, I can sit down at the table to eat and start thinking about Emily. It's the weirdest thing. I can hear her in my ear, don't eat that. You're going to burn in hell forever. It's like she's a little angel standing on my shoulder. Then I have the devil over here going, eat it, eat it, eat it. I usually listen to the devil. But she brings excellence. She brings a conviction in my life. Come on. And when I'm feeling like I need to get healthy, you know what I call to motivate me? Emily. I don't call Jeff. He's still eating donuts and cooking steak. He cooked a steak that big at midnight. Now, this guy is from another country. We pick at him and make jokes, and he loves to make jokes. One day he sent me a picture. It was awesome. He had been working on a pump or something, and he sent me a picture of his hands down by the pump, and he texted me, making America great. You gotta love it. You gotta love it. But this guy serves. He loves. Let me tell you something else. This guy prays. Listen, nothing in his life, zero decision in his life, is not done on his knees. Whether he's buying a car or he's making a decision about his life, whatever it is. He's praying for a wife. Is any available? So, a decision. Every decision is done on his knees. But he loves God. He's passionate about God. And he speaks pretty good English. He speaks pretty good English. He's got some cute curls too. But when we look at all these people, we see that if I could go on and on and on and on and on in this room today. But here's the deal. Every one of these people have added value to my life. Every one of these people has put purpose in my life. And every one of these people bring me to a higher level. And without them, I've got some void. And so I want y'all to grab hands, hold hands. So it's the stones, it's the little intricate parts that God puts together and he places in at the right time. I'll give you the short version of the story with Emily, is that I really had a conviction. I'm still have it. I'm just not doing it. Pray for me. I had a conviction about getting healthy, and I called Emily to come meet with. Somebody gave me her name. She came to meet with me. But you know what? It was a divine connection. It was a divine connection because as much as she's spoken into my life, her husband Ricky and I have become closest of friends. And God puts us together, and it's these little divine connections that God does that so oftentimes we miss out on the greatness of God because we're too busy or too caught up or too self-centered.
Yes.
Too into our stuff. I don't have time for that. And we miss the community that God, because I can't do it without them. I can't do it without them. I go through trials, I go through life, and I need these people in my life to encourage me, to strengthen me. And guess what? They need me too. They don't need me because I'm the pastor. They need me because I'm part of the community. Are y'all getting this morning? Stay right there for just a minute. The word tells us that we're family and not foreigners, that we're community, that we're here for purpose, and that we bring our lives together. The word teaches that community matters. And that we should cultivate, we should feed, and we should use it. But never dare to pretend that we created it. Because this design of community was built by God. So no matter what little group you get into, and so oftentimes this is what happens. We have a group of people, they gather together. They're like a little group of single mothers and a group of men or a group of women or a group of this or a group of the prophetic or a group of the servers or a group of this. And we call that a church, but that's really not a church because a church is made up of all kinds of people with all kinds of differences. And before we know it, our community only exists among those that look and act and talk like us. I'm going to tell you something. That's like having a big old puzzle and all the pieces are the same. You know where to put them. You never can come up with the full picture of what God has for you because every piece looks the same. Every piece is shaped the same. And they only fit into one spot, so you have just a single-minded understanding of who God is. But when you have a community, you have a broad vision of who God is and how he operates and how the body works together. So necessary for the purpose of the kingdom. So necessary for the purpose of the kingdom. And so here's what happens. The rich go to church together. The poor go to church together. A certain religion goes to church together. And a race goes to church together. And we call these people groups churches. And there's some good that comes out of these groups. And there are some positive things that comes out of these churches. But that's so much different than having something that's so much more powerful because some of these groups can exist without God even being present. And when you get your little group, now I'm going to use you for an example, Miss Myrna, come here. Miss Myrna, if all she hung around with was people who wanted to do feeding the poor, you could have a whole bunch of people feeding the poor, but no lives would be changed. Because you know that you can give people food and there's never a transformation. But when you add people to your value, you fill more than their bellies, you fill their hearts with the goodness of God. And so she needs these people, these prayer warriors, those who bring and activate what she is doing to make it greater. Am I making any sense to anybody today? Come on, let's give the Lord some praise. Thank y'all. So good. Galatians 3 said, "You have all become true children of God by the faith of Jesus, the Anointed One. It was faith that immersed, that put us all together into Jesus, the Anointed One. And now you are covered and clothed. You're cloaked with his anointing. You're covered with his anointing." I thought about this passage of scripture today, and I wished I had some choir robes because we're all just cloaked with the anointing of God. But underneath that cloak of that anointing with God, if we look underneath those choir robes, there's different people underneath there. We have the same daddy, but we have different purposes. Come on. And we're no longer see each other in our former state. Jew nor non-Jew, rich nor poor, male nor female, because we're all one through our union with Jesus Christ with no distinction between us. And since you've been united with Jesus, the Messiah, you are now Abraham's children and the inheritance of the promise of the kingdom realm. Now I want you to go with me. We're going to do a little transfer here. We're going to move from church to kingdom. Church to kingdom. You can build a church with programs, but you need the power of the Holy Spirit and the gospel of Jesus to build the kingdom. I'm going to say it again. If you don't remember anything else I say, remember this. You can build a congregation. You can build a group of people with programs. But you need the power of the Holy Spirit and the gospel of Jesus Christ to build the kingdom. This is the foundation of Jesus was what the prophets and the apostles was teaching. This gospel that they said, if you preach any other gospel, let it be accursed. He was saying, look, if you don't build the foundation of the house, of the church, of the kingdom upon this teaching of the baptism of the Holy Spirit that changes your life and the infilling of the Holy Ghost that gives you power and dominion and the cross of Jesus, which is the entry door to it all, then you've missed the point. Because it was so important to Jesus that he leave us with a comforter to baptize the Holy Ghost. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit activates the goodness of God in us to do what we were called to do. Anybody here today? The gospel brings us to the door. The gospel brings us into the kingdom. The gospel saves us from our sin. The cross heals us. But it's the power of the Holy Spirit that activates us into the calling of which we were called. And you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So when Christians unite around programs, they create communities that just exist. In the modern day Babylon, it would be like, and Babel, and the communities glorify their own strength instead of the strength of God. Look what we can do. Look at the church we built. Look what we have. We have the best worship team in town. We have the best preaching in town. We have the best this in town. We have the best that in town. We built our own tower, and look how good we are. And when we come together and share our faith in Christ, there's nothing more powerful than this kind of community that has been transformed by the love and the power of the Holy Spirit. And it brings us closer together than even our blood ties or our relatives. In this room here today, there are people that would raise their hand right now if I asked, and they would tell you that the family that's closer to them than any other family are the people they come to church with. Closer than their relatives. Why? Because the Holy Spirit has brought us together. The anointing has brought us together, and we're going to stay together. It's called community, and it's a very biblical and a very powerful thing. And when God brings the body of Christ, and not just the local body of Christ, but he brings all the body of Christ. Miss Myrna's done some amazing things, but she has 20-30 churches on board helping do it. It's the body working together for the kingdom of God. I've said this so many times that I haven't said it recently. We're never going to sit around here and go like, we got the best church there is. Because I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of great churches in this area and a lot of great pastors and a lot of great people. And we ever get to the place that it's about us and everything that we do is about us, we've missed the kingdom of God. We have to rejoice when the church across town has an amazing outpouring of the Holy Spirit and hundreds receive the baptism of the Spirit and are filled with the Holy Spirit and give their life to Christ and they're baptizing people every week and they're posting on Facebook. Woo! We ought to be dancing and shouting with them because we're not competing. We're in the same body. We're in the same kingdom. We're doing the same thing together. We're the church. Come on, somebody. We're talking about the body of Christ. They are our family. They're the family of God. We got the same DNA. When we come together, we share faith. We come together, we share our lives. And we give and we trust and we work together for the one cause, and that's his glory. So how do we ever know we're going to be authentic if we don't get around people that are different? You know when you know you're real? Is when you're around somebody that's different. You get to test your authenticity. Like, okay, so do I, I'm a, like, I mean, this new group of people over here, do I just kind of fit in? Do I need to change the way I talk? I'm a little chameleon here. I told somebody between services today, there's one thing I've never been: politically correct. I just say it how it is. But there's one thing I try to be, is honest. I try to be honest. I try to say what is right and love people where they are and not judge them. But neither do I try to fit in with them. So I don't change my shirt when I go around them. I don't change the way I do. I'm just me. Because you know what? I decided a few years ago that me was pretty good. And God was okay with me. And God loves me. And he's okay with my imperfections. And he's okay with my brokenness. And he's okay with the things that are not all right in my life. But the moment I try to be something I'm not, I create a lie or a hidden agenda that causes me never to get healing of who I am to be better than what I am right now. And so I camouflage the goodness of God in my life. But God's called me to be real, to be honest. And so I get tempted sometimes because I walk into a group of people. And guess what? I want to, like, okay, now what do I need to put my hat on backwards? Do I need to put it in front? Do I need to? Is this a skinny jean church or is this a wear a suit church? Or where am I at? How cool do I need to be? I've said this many times. I hate walking into a pastor's conference because you start feeling all this pressure. And they're going to ask you, how many people are you running? Don't ask me that. Because there's like 15 churches that are bigger than mine, and I don't want to tell you. So I got me an answer for that. They say, how many people you run? I say, 90,000. They're like, no, you're not. It's like, there's 90,000 people in our area, and I'm running after all of them. I'm happy. It's who God created me to be. But I can't be everything God's created me to be without you. So I got to be real. That's good. I don't care who you are. That's good right there. Worship team, you can come. In a place where the Holy Spirit draws people, we have an opportunity to be a part of a community that allows you to be who God intended for you to be without judgment, without pressure to be something else, just to walk in your calling and your purpose. If you're here today, I want to tell you something. If you're here listening to me today, I want to tell you something. This is a house that's safe. And you can be who God created you to be. You don't have to be me. We're not forming some cookie cutter idea that you got to be me. You don't have to be Michelle. You don't have to, I can't be Peyton. He can't sing nearly as good as I can. I can't be anybody but myself. It's who God created me to be. And I want you to feel safe to be you. I want you to feel safe to be in the skin that God gave you. And I'm not talking about color. I'm talking about purpose. I want you to feel safe to walk up and say, hey, I feel like God's doing this in my life, and I want to celebrate that with you. You may not be there yet completely where you need to go, but there's a starting point in all of our lives. And this is a safe place to be who God created you to be. Very safe. And we want to get better at that. And God's called the church to be family centered around him. I'm just about done. But I want you to hear this. God called this church to be a family that's centered around his likeness, his purpose, his will. We have differences. Come on. That's why God put together the fivefold ministry of apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, and pastors, so that we could do the work of the ministry, so that we could equip, so that each person that walked through the door could be who God created them to be. And it's all centered around the hub of his goodness. So with no judgment, no pressure, just be who God created you to be. This is not an event center that's centered around the worship team or the speaker or the building, but it's a family that sticks together in good times and bad times. Man, when the Lord just put this on my heart today, he said rock stars give you their name, but they could care less about your name. Rock stars will sign their autograph on their own picture because they want you to know their name, but they never ask you, what is your name? Who are you? What did God create you to be? We don't have any rock stars around here. We just got a bunch of people who are kids of the Most High, and we're family. We don't serve because we have to. We serve because we get to. Oh, I got to go to church today. What's that mean? Well, I got to put on my other uniform. It's church day. I got to be what they want me to be when I get there. I got to put on my, what do they call that? The church lady. I got to be the church lady today. No, you got to be you today. Because you're good enough to be you. Amen. God created you. He's so proud of you. You're made in His image. You're awesome. You're beautiful. Just be you. We want to love you. I want you to love me. Whew. About to cry up here. Because I do love y'all. I do believe in y'all. John said this, 13. So I give you now a new commandment. Love each other just as much as I have loved you. For when you demonstrate the same love I have for you by loving others, everyone will know that you are a true follower. I really don't want to be known as a preacher before I'm known as a Christian. I really don't want to be known as a pastor before I'm known as a lover of people. Don't give me a title without a purpose. I want to love people, and I want them people to know. So a real church is made up of real people who love and care for one another, who accept people for who they are, who are willing to help people, who are willing to lay down their life in any circumstance. They won't judge, but they help them find their place in the kingdom of God. A few years ago, I've been preaching the gospel for many years. I've been in the church for most of my life, been around church. It was only a few years ago that I was able to find out who I was, because I shook off a bunch of religious junk, trying to be someone I wasn't. I remember as a young past preacher going to get conference time, and I would go to this particular store and I would buy a suit, and I'd buy $1,200 or $1,500 worth of clothing, of expensive clothing. Because when I was around those other preachers, I had to have Hugo Boss written on the inside of my jacket too, because that was where the adorning came from. As a youth pastor, I was making $800 a month, and I was wearing a $1,500 suit. Something's wrong with stewardship in that area of your life. But I was wanting to fit in. I needed to be known. I needed them to accept me as something powerful. And then I found out one day who I was, and I realized that I was already powerful. And I looked pretty good in a Bahama Mama shirt. God's okay with me. Somebody asked me this morning, said, Pastor, so that's a nice shirt you got on. I said, you know why I'm wearing that? And they said, no. I said, because I was too lazy to iron a shirt this morning. I was just too tired. This one was already ironed. I'm okay just being me. I'm okay being me. But I can't live without you. So come join me in our community and let's do something great for God together. Stay with me this morning.